is Baseball Today.
Baseball's a funny game. There's a round ball that comes in a square box.
Yeah, but it takes him 4 months to blow his nose, so I don't know what's going to happen. That made me sick to my stomach, too, being that positive. Ugh.
Yes, the point here is when Peter speaks, everybody should listen.
That's right.
Play ball!
Baseball Today.
Hi there, and welcome to the Baseball Today, a glorious Tuesday, October 13th. I'm Eric Carabell, here with Peter Pasquarelli. How you doing, Peter?
What's so glorious about it? The stupid Rockies gutless, they cost me dates. I get paid by the game this time of year. These idiots, stupid Papelbon, dumb, stupid Rockies. I'm sick of them all. Can't they win the game?
Irritability, annoyances, pleasure, dark, and the bitterness is here and today. Peter ran all the day, run! Yeah!
Well, that wasn't really planned, but you want to keep going?
It all comes down to me. I don't care about anybody except myself.
So I don't like anybody.
This really upsets me, but I'll tell you what, a heck of a win by the Phillies.
We're going to talk about that heck of a win. We're also going to have time to do a round of diamond, talk about the losers. We're not going to really preview everything, but let's get it all started. Rockies-Phillies.
The Colorado Rockies.
The Rockies.
The Philadelphia Phillies.
The Phillies.
All right, let's start with the ESPN Radio recap. This is Gary Thorne and Chris Singleton, then we'll discuss.
A tremendous finish and a very exciting ball game as the Phillies get the victory by winning it in the ninth inning when they were able to pick up three runs after Colorado had scored three of their own in the eighth. Just an amazing finish, Chris, to the ball game.
It was an incredible finish. The Phillies going down two runs, headed into the ninth inning here at Coors Field. Everything was pointing towards a game five with Houston Street coming in out of the bullpen. But Ryan Howard, what a great at-bat he had there, driving in a couple of runs and putting his club back on top. He didn't do it with the home run. It was a base hit, and that's something we talked about over the course of the series. And Charlie Manuel, he attested as well that this team is hitting in situations. They're not over-swinging for the most part, and when a team is doing that, they have the potential to get those extra runs and have big innings.
And for Brad Lidge, a second save in this series in the four games that were played. For the man who virtually lost his job as the closer for Philadelphia, the two saves he's put up in this series are going to give Charlie Manuel some thought for concern about whether or not he's ready to resume that role.
Well, Charlie's going to sleep a little bit better. We asked him a couple of days ago how much sleep was he losing since this situation came about with the bullpen and the closer situation. So he's going to be able to breathe a huge sigh of relief in seeing Brad Lidge on consecutive nights come in and get the job done, and quite possibly they could have their closer problem solved.
All right, we congratulate Philadelphia as they move on defending the championship that they won last season. They come away with a victory in four games in the series against the Rockies, 5-4, the final in the deciding game.
Okay, good job by the guys there. Obviously, the Ryan Howard at bat. That ninth inning was just, it's incredible. I mean, Houston Street blows it back-to-back days, and he's a really good closer, Peter. But the Phillies got great at-bats, they got men on base, and then Ryan Howard, I mean, you look at him, you think, he's trying to hit a home run, but he didn't do it. And
I mean, he drives 140 runs a year, and I don't think people really just...
Pretty good
don't
hitter.
Really give it enough attention. It's an extraordinary what he does every year, year after year after year, and he's doing it again this postseason. A great at-bat in that whole sequence, of course, was Utley, in my mind, working that walk to set it up for Howard, but... you know, it just a great comeback by a team that's a very great team. I mean, you know, if you look at these teams, the four teams that are in the Final Four are the four best teams in baseball, I think, over the course of the year. So,
well, they have the two best records in each league.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, in that case, you know, this is the heavyweight division here. And, you know, they stagger through the bullpen. Scott Aire comes up big again, and then Lidge is able to end it.
Well, they touched on this, too. Is the closer problem solved? I mean, Lidge pitched to one batter. He was right-handed. It was Tulowitzki again, arguably their best player, and he got him again. And Tulowitzki had a horrible at bat, flailing away at these sliders. And the night before, he had a gimme pitch right in the middle and hit a pop-up to left field. I mean, I don't feel comfortable as a Phillies fan. I don't think Lidge is back. I think he just just got out of things.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything solved. I just think that they're going game by game and doing what they can. I mean, I'd still believe it's game by game. I mean, Mattson, you have to wonder about Mattson.
He looked terrible.
I mean, he looked awful. So, I mean, you know, it's a game by game issue. And the fact that they get two outs out of Scott Aaron in the ninth inning shows that. I mean, that doesn't happen in the regular season very often. I mean, Scott Aaron was close to his first save since 2004. I mean, that's how much they're going off the board here to get outs. And
he's
going to
get more chances because of Ethier and Loney.
Plus, he's throwing really good, too.
He looked good.
Yeah, and the weeks off that he had probably turned out to be beneficial for him. But, you know, I think that's the way they'll go the rest of the way. You know, it's going to be very interesting because you have a team in the Dodgers that has confidence in everybody they roll out on the bullpen. And then you go to the Phillies, in which they're just waiting to see what's going to happen tonight with the bullpen. So it's going to be a fascinating series.
Right, and I'm not saying...
We'll talk about that a lot down the road.
I'm not saying that Lidge isn't solved. I'm just saying you can't prove that from one batter last night.
No.
And from the outing the other day, putting men on base. The Phillies clearly have the disadvantage when it comes to bullpens. Dodgers have a terrific bullpen. But it's also interesting to me, Peter, that, you know, we got four teams that are eliminated. Well, you know, there's some good closers there. Schuster, Street, Joe Nathan, you know, really one
Papelbon.
Of the GOATs. Papelbon gave up his first runs. And Ryan Franklin, who had a tremendous season. Those four closers are out of the playoffs, and all of them were really, really good during the regular season.
It just goes to show it's the most fragile position on any baseball team. And, you know, people that really don't follow it closely, they say, what's the big deal? They just get three outs. They get outs all the time. But, you know, you watch
these different games, outs.
It's a different outs, and you watch it this time of year, they're really different outs. And you know, you've seen good closers get beat up. And it's interesting, the ones that remain. I mean, you know, you don't have one in Philadelphia, basically. You have Broxton.
It's Lidge. It's Lidge.
Yeah. Well, you have Broxton, who's, you know, one of the best. And then you have
it's the Fuentes. Playoff unproven. I mean, Broxton last year gave up that big home run to Stairs.
And Fuentes is not someone that the Angels don't feel comfortable with him. You know that. And then you have the greatest one who ever lived. So,
who, by the way, blew saves the last couple of years against
saves
Boston.
In the postseason. So, I mean, you know, it happens. But on this stage, of course, it gets so much more visible, too. I mean, poor Papelbon's never allowed a run in the postseason. He's going to be remembered for blowing this game the other day. But, you know, the Phillies game last night was a great game. And there's been some great games coming out of the closet here. And hopefully there's going to be a whole bunch of them now with two, but on paper should be two really good LCSs.
And I thought, to be honest with you, when Mattson blew the game, I think Charlie Manuel did the right thing. I would have started the eighth inning with Cliff Lee. I would have brought in Ryan Mattson. I thought the Mattson against Yorvi Toriablo would have been a can't-miss for Mattson. Instead, he hits a two-run double, and the place goes nuts. Yes, Phillies has some issues in the bullpen. Great job by the Rockies. I mean, there's a terrific comeback and really some really good games. And good to see that the weather and the umpiring didn't have as much of a factor in Game 4 because it certainly did in Game 3. And good for Jim. You know, I really like Jim Tracy, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's a great guy,
you know, the Utley infield hit in the ninth inning on in Game 3. I mean, clearly it hit his leg. And Jim Tracy says that's not why the Rockies lost the game. I mean, he could have taken another angle on that. Let's make that clear.
Oh, no question about it. He was really classy in what he did, and he's a classy guy. You know, it's funny, too. So two things yesterday, though. Within the first three innings, he had already argued for the cycle. He argued a call at first base, second base, and third base. I don't think that's ever happened.
The umpiring was not very good in Game 4. But it wasn't an – I don't think it was an advantage.
No, it didn't differ. I mean, they blew calls on everybody. But the umpiring has been terrible throughout. But secondly, I like this Rockies team better than the one that went to the World Series. I think this team is a better team than the one that went to the World Series 2 years ago. And I think this club's someone that's going to be reckoned with now for a long time. I just think it's a club that – you know, I think Tracy adds to the is a big factor, but I think also it's a club of people. I mean, Carlos Gonzalez,
he's going to be a star.
He's going to be a star. I mean, he came into this series and really just showed what he can do. And I mean, Tulowitzki's just entering his prime. I mean, they have their issues; every team does. But I like this team better than the one that went to the World Series.
I like it too, and I think you could make the. And again, we have plenty of time to do this in the off season, but I think you can make the case that this is the leading contender to win the National League West next year, don't you?
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, these off seasons get so.
I mean, obviously,
tumultuous.
Teams are going to make changes. You know, the Rockies might not even keep Houston Street, especially after this. I mean, he's
rumor is they're not going to tender him, but
right. Or I mean, or that he can leave. In
right,
other words,
right.
Not,
yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. We can talk about that again later.
All right, let's hear this interview with Shane Victorino after the game, and then we'll talk about that as well. Here's Shane Victorino of the Phillies.
Shane Victorino, you guys were down to your last out, down by two runs. Take us through what you saw there in the ninth inning.
You know what? It's a battle. And that's what it's about. We played 27 outs. Hey, Ryan said before the inning, get him up there. And he came through, and then Jason came through. So, you know, collectively, you just got to keep playing this game, man. You played 27 outs. We talked about it last year. And we're going on to the next step, but we got a long task ahead of us.
Radulich was perfect last season, ridiculed this season. He's got it done the last 2 days. How important is that for your team?
Hey, you know what? That's all that matters, what you're doing now. Hey, I can be, I can be hitting 1,000. I can be hitting, I can not get a hit for last month. It's for what you're doing now, and what Brad has done for us the last 2 nights has been great. That's what we brought him here to do. So, hey, we're going to celebrate tonight, but hey, we got a long road ahead of us.
You mentioned the road, and it's going to take you through Los Angeles. What's going to be the key to that series?
You know what? Try to get them early. They're a good team. They've been playing well. They've been on a roll. So, hey, you know what? They weren't the best record for no reason in the NL. But hey, you know what? We're defending champs of the NL, and we're going to ready to go.
Shane Victorino, Colorado, 83-1 with a lead going into the ninth inning. You erased that one tonight. Congratulations. Good luck in Los Angeles. Let's send it back to you.
All right, so he's saying all the right things. And all the Phillies really defended Brad Lidge all along. I mean, Ryan Howard on TV was doing it as well, saying all the right things. Whether they believed it or not, I don't know. You know, if he blows game one against the Dodgers, maybe it'll change. But, I feel good for Lidge. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see him do well after what couldn't have been. You know, I heard a comment by one of the TV guys, I think it was on Michael Mike, saying, if Lidge didn't have another year on his contract, he might have been released during the season. I don't know if I agree with that.
That's ridiculous. But for one thing, an organization is a little more loyal than that. Give them credit for that.
Well, he had a 7.21 ERA. I mean,
I know, but they're not going to release him. But nevertheless, I mean, he's a teammate. They support a teammate. But I'm sure there have been points of the season when players in that clubhouse said, boy, we got to start trying someone else out there, too. You know, and I think they're all happy that this issue is not an issue right now as they head on to the next round. And again, it'll be game by game with the Phillies. If they have leads, it's going to be a game by game anguish.
It's three guys.
And they're not liable to blow out the Dodgers in any games because the Dodgers are the kind of club that gets bullpen help real quickly. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of close games in this series, so we'll have plenty of time to look at the Phillies bullpen.
All right, we'll take a greater look at Rockies Phillies on Thursday's show because the series opens in. Game one of the NLDS is that night, and it can be heard on ESPN Radio. Game one of the ALCS between the Angels and the Yankees on Friday, and of course can be heard on ESPN Radio as well. So Thursday will be Rockies Phillies Day. I mean, Dodgers Phillies Day. Friday will be Angels Yankees Day. Wednesday, I don't know what we're doing. But anyway, that's it for the Rockies Phillies. Congrats to both teams. And we're going to move on now with Around the Diamond.
News from around the league.
Let's go Around the Diamond.
All right, kind of brief here. We got some call to the pen to do a little bit later in the show as well. Nothing really to do looking forward to, but I want to talk about some of the losers today. And losers is a tough word. I mean, Cardinals got swept. There's already speculation that Tony La Russa may not be back. Dave Duncan, there was speculation all season long that he wouldn't return because of whether he couldn't get along with people or the way his son was traded away, whatever it is. But La Russa is going to meet with, the general manager?
General manager and ownership, I'm sure, on Monday, and they'll go from there. I have no feel for this at all. No one around baseball really does, I don't think. I think La Russa really has questions, and from what I've been told of those close to him, he thinks maybe that it's finally a time when the team stopped really listening to him. He felt that during parts of the season, especially down the stretch when, the Cardinals really were not very, they didn't finish the year very well. And they never really were under pressure at all once they blew the race open, but at the same time, they never really played well after that stretch when against bad teams in August when they blew the race open. After that, they didn't play very well. So I think there's some question there. But at the same time, there's a lot of speculation over the last few days, supposedly, that Duncan has come to grips with things and that he and La Russa will be back there. So I think we'll know all this in the next few days.
Good, because I kind of like La Russa there. I mean, he's 65.
I'm sure they
want him back, right?
Well, and the thing is, where's he going to go? I mean,
there's plenty of teams with openings.
Yeah, but he's not going to go to a team like Washington or a team like.
He could go to a team like the Mets. I mean, there's good teams that are going to have manager openings.
I just can't imagine him doing that. But we'll see. I mean, I think. I think his own personal thing would be to stay there. I think he wants to continue to manage Albert Pujols. and watch his greatness. And but you know, the Cardinals have a lot of issues in the off season, and so that's going to be part of the equation here. I mean, you know, Holiday's going to be a tough sign, Matt Holiday. They've already resigned internally, I think, to not keeping Pinheiro. So, you know, they have some issues there.
Oh, no. How will they overcome that?
Well, Joel Pinheiro's pretty good.
You know? He had a good year.
Yeah, but, he had a good year.
I mean, he could easily be average.
Oh, well,
year.
I know. But
what about John Smoltz? He says he wants to pitch again. Would it be the Cardinals?
I think he's back there on a one-year contract. If everything stays equal now, if there's a big change there, I think that could influence him, too, because I think he liked the idea of pitching with Duncan and all of that. But if everything stays the same or equal, I think he'll be back to St. Louis.
All right, let's stay in the National League Central Division. The Cubs officially filed for Chapter 11 protection, which to me just means that they're able to be sold now. This is not really a team in trouble,
no,
right?
I mean, no. Well, they have Milton Bradley, but I don't think that's...
Well, financially.
No, I'm just kidding. But, no, I think this is just some legal maneuver in which it can now be easily transferred to the new owners, and they hope that happens pretty soon.
All right, and as long as it's not Rush Limbaugh, no big deal.
Yeah, boy, how about that? They only could run to the right.
You were waiting for that, weren't you?
Well, you know, thank you very much.
All right, in more pertinent news, the Astros are going to have an interview list of 10 people. That's something you don't see every day.
Ed Wade wants to show he's doing due diligence.
Why not get the dozen, you know? I mean,
what a dope.
And there's some interesting
and
names.
That's, and then to announce them all as if.
Yeah, why do you do that?
Because they think that this is good. It makes then they can have them interviewed after every interview, and they can see how they conduct themselves under pressure. It's a childish, stupid way to do things. But
let's do a fantasy manager search and see if we can have
ridiculous.
Like a competition here. I mean,
they have every name on here except Miller Huggins. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Where's Tommy Lasorda? Brad Mills, Tim Bogar, Randy Reddy, Manny Acta, Bob Melvin, Ned Yost, Al Pedrique, and, of course, Dave Clark, I assume.
Where's Jim Fregosi? I thought he was going to be interviewed there.
I heard Fregosi was going somewhere. Where was he going? Was it Houston?
Houston, yeah.
Why is he not on the list? I don't even care.
I don't even.
You know what? You're right. It's a good job by the organization.
It's one of the most thankless jobs. It's a terrible managing job anyway, because you work for an owner who's a nutcase, and so
nice.
So that's going to be a lovely job for somebody.
Well, you know what? That's a good way to seek into.
See, I like some of the guys on here. The ones I like, I hope they don't get the job, because it's one of those jobs you lose for 2 years, and then what do you have? Then you never get another managing job. That's
well, you make some money.
Well, that's, yeah, but money's overrated.
They make more money than us, you know, I mean,
Especially when no one can win a game here to extend these stupid series. I mean, God, can't anyone go 4 games in these series? Can't someone stretch out a 5-game series? What's so hard about this? I don't get it.
Peter gets paid by the day.
Yeah, all right. Well, whatever.
All right, can we move on? Call to the pen?
Sure.
There you
sure.
go.
Call to the pen. You've got email.
We all feel sorry for Peter for being off today. Really, that's what you're complaining about, that you're off today.
I wanted to bundle up and go to the bank tonight and watch a game.
You can go to the bank. It's open.
Nobody's there.
Well, that's probably the way you like it.
That's probably the way I like it. I can just yell into the empty stadium.
By the way, I'll be at the bank on Sunday.
I'll be there, too, as a matter of fact.
I'm sure we won't see each other, though.
Well, you never know.
I'm going to be deep in the upper deck with my season ticket plan lottery. They gave me the tickets. It's like deep in the right field upper deck.
Well,
hopefully it's not
cold. As usual, the fans are the last people to.
I had such good seats during the season, like awesome seats, third base line, like row 10, and now I'm in the first. I'm in like center city.
Okay. Probably your seats are being held by some Turner advertiser, like the producer of What About Errol or whatever that stupid show is.
It's not called What About Errol.
Whatever that show is. What About Whatever. Everyone Loves Earl. Is that it? No, I guess not.
Well, anyway. You're combining different eras.
Whatever.
Send your emails, please, to baseballtoday@espnradio.com. We need some good ones for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Obviously,
as we're talking about the TVS sitcoms. Alex in Minneapolis is a depressed Twins fan. Alex, you're on the show. How different?
Depressed.
What do you mean, how can you be depressed? They didn't win a game.
I know, but they had a great year. I mean, a great finish. You have to be realistic about these things.
All the teams that lose are probably depressed. You don't think Rockies fans are depressed? They had a great year. You could make a case they were the best team in the National League.
I'll just go skiing.
Of course. How different do you think each first-round series would have been had it been a best-of-7 instead of 5? Is there any chance that would have affected a team's approach? Would teams be a little more relaxed, knowing there's more margin for error? He also says, I want to answer that question, but he also says, when is the national media going to stop pushing the, quote, Twins do all the right things, little things right, quote, myth? The series featured huge base running blunders from Carlos Gomez and Nick Punto, Delman Young constantly throwing to the wrong base, relievers handing out walks like candy. This was the year the Twins relied less on the little things than ever, since they had at least 28 home runs from four different guys, and that power vanished against the Yankees. I wanted to bring this up with you because you do talk about the Twins as the scrappy little overcoming bunch, but they played series against the Yankees. I mean, they made a lot of mistakes.
A lot of mistakes, and you know, well, see, I always resist this the scrappy little bunch because they have some great players, and I think that
sort of takes away from that. It also implies that they're not talented.
Right, exactly. I've never liked that, and the team doesn't like that either. As for them doing the right things, I mean, yeah, I mean, Carlos Gomez is somebody that they has been doing these things ever since he came to the majors last year. Punto, you're surprised at someone like Punto making that kind of base running mistake, but. Hey, it happens. I mean, people make mistakes. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, Brett Gardner made a big mistake in the Yankee game the other night, and it was overcome because they hit the home runs. And I mean, I think that's what it comes down to, is that the Twins became reliant on home runs in this season, and they didn't hit them. And that was a big part of what they did. It's going to be interesting there next year, though. They're going to be a good team coming into next year. They'll get Slowey back, who's, I think it was a loss that people didn't give enough credit for.
Well, the pitching was fine against the Yankees.
I wonder about Joe Nathan a little bit. He had a great year, but his finish was a little funny. He got hit hard down the stretch, and I hope he's okay because he's one of the best.
Well, his first question here, if any of these four series were best of seven instead of five, would the result have been different?
Well, the Colorado-Philly thing would be a little different probably because at least we'd have a fifth game tonight. But,
and you could make more money. But I mean, would any of the teams that, like the four best teams, well, yeah. I don't know if I can say the four best teams won. I mean, we thought the Cardinals were better than the Dodgers. Certainly you could have made the case on the Red Sox, Angels, or Rockies, Phillies.
I've picked all the winners in this series.
So the four teams that won would have won anyway if it was game seven.
I think so. But I do think, though, that a best of seven series is more fair.
Charlie Manuel managed as if it was a three-game series.
Right, right. He managed like it was a one-game
playoff.
Every
game was a one-game playoff,
right.
Which I like.
And maybe that's the way to do it. I mean, really, when you look at it, maybe that's the way to do it in the postseason. I mean, Joe Torre always did it. He had no hesitation about, you know, Mariano Rivera for two innings.
He pulled Randy Wolf really early the other day. I mean, like, game one to him was the most important game. He had to win the game.
And he wanted to get his bullpen as quick as possible. He had no trust in Randy Wolf, and it was obvious. And so
I don't think it was that he didn't have trust. He managed, it was like game seven. Game one to him, he managed.
There were a lot of people on his, he was hearing from a lot of his people on the coaching staff about how there should be no trust in Randy Wolf.
Wolf had a good year. I don't understand this angst towards Wolf.
I don't know. When's he won a big game in his life? But anyway.
But he's never been in the playoffs before.
Well, that's partly his fault.
How is that his fault?
He didn't win enough big games during the season.
Oh, come on. When he was in the Boa Phillies, he was supposed to get that team to the playoffs. I mean, come on.
Well, pick him up on his shoulders and carry him.
You guys are a little mean to Randy Wolf. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have been their game one starter. All right.
No, I know. But he pitched awful that night, by the way.
He did, but he was also pretty good during the season, 3.23 ERA.
No, he had a good year.
24 quality starts out of 34. Next best in the team, well, Billingsley had 22. Where's Billingsley now? Anyway, all right, I get your point. Let's move on. Okay. I think the Phillies would have won their series. Obviously, the other three teams that swept, if they had a 3-0 lead, they were going to win the series. All right, this is Roy Bernal. Do you think the way Matt Holliday and the Cardinals ended the season will ultimately affect his pending free agency and the amount of money the Cardinals are willing to offer him? He's talking about the huge error. The guy performed from day one, but the lasting memory in the minds and hearts of the fans and management has to be of him biffing that ball and left, right? Biffing? Being said, do you think the Giants have a chance at landing him, providing the bumbling duo of Sabian and Bochy screwed
up?
Well, you're not a fan.
Bochy should be a manager of the year. I mean, he had a great year.
Over Jim Tracy.
Well, no, I'm saying he was a candidate for manager year, but I mean,
I do not think that dropping that ball in left field has any effect at all on Matt Holliday's pending free agency.
No, neither do I.
And the Cardinals are over that. I mean,
go where he gets the most money. Period. He's.
But I think he means will the Cardinals offer as much as they would have a week earlier?
I don't think it'll affect it at all. It won't affect their pursuit of him at all.
And it might look.
And he's not going to the Giants. So I mean, that's not on his list of teams. I mean, people say, oh, the Giants going to bump. They don't sign him. Well, that's ridiculous. A player
they don't can't afford him.
Well, but B, he doesn't want to play in San Francisco. He knows what the weather's like in that ballpark. He knows how hard it is.
Wants to put up numbers.
He wants to put up numbers.
He's going to Fenway if Jason Bay doesn't come back.
Maybe,
I mean, you know.
Or he might be back in St. Louis, maybe. Or he might be in with the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees are going to be looking for a left fielder.
So. Johnny Damon is going to be their DH. Matsui's
right.
leaving, so they need a left fielder.
Jason Bay could be in New York. I
mean, a lot of people are going to judge what happened in these playoffs and say it affects the future in terms of, you know, contracts and all that. Houston Street wasn't coming back to Colorado anyway, I don't think. So, and this isn't a Mitch Williams type situation where the guy has to be moved out of town. And
no.
Matt Holliday can come back. I think Cardinals fans forgive him.
Oh, well, they'd welcome him with open arms.
They would love to have this guy back.
Sure,
he's
they
a
would
major hitter. So
I mean,
you want Ryan Ludwig projecting?
And a big part of it is that you know, bringing him back is going to make Albert happy, and they have to address Albert's contract over the next year. So that's pretty
all right.
complicated.
Final email, Dave in Canonsburg. I don't know what state Canonsburg is, but
Canonsburg.
Wow. Thanks
is that Pennsylvania?
For a great podcast season. I'm not sure.
Done yet?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do in the off season without being able to listen to Oscar Madison and Felix Unger. By the way, scheduling note: we're not done. We're going every day through the end of the World Series, and then after that, like, I don't know, once a week, once every 2 weeks. I don't know what we're doing, but we're not.
Yeah, probably that once a week, once every 2 weeks. Who knows?
We'll
decide when we get there.
Maybe they won't want to bring Peter back.
Yeah, or, you're right,
Peter. You're like Matt Holliday.
Maybe Dave here knows something we don't know. Maybe he's a cleverly disguised coordinating producer saying that it's been a great season already.
I believe we went once every 2 weeks at the very end of the season, but we went once a week, I think as early as January.
There's a lot going on.
Maybe we don't want to. I'm going to arbitration.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, let's answer Dave's question here. My question for you is, which team do you think will have the least chance of repeating in the playoffs in 2010? Are the Yankees the most likely to repeat? We're already talking 2010.
Repeat to get in the playoffs, I guess that means?
I guess that means, well, we don't have a champion yet. So, all right, well, the four teams that are still around, Phillies, Dodgers, Angels, Yankees, I don't see any of them having major problems next year. I mean, they have good cores, good pitching, good management. I mean, they're all certainly going to contend. They all
have
money.
A lot of money.
I mean, look where they're from. L.A., New York, Philly. There's money. You know, but the other four teams, I mean, I think the Rockies, you can make the case of the best team in the NL West. They probably were this year. I think the Cardinals are going to, I mean, always with La Russa.
A lot of issues,
but they're going to fix them. They have the best player in baseball and arguably.
Minnesota's obviously the one with the smallest margin for error.
I think you can make the case that team I had to pick right now, I'd say they're probably the best team next year.
Let's face it, they had to go to an extra game to get there, so you'd have to think they're the most fragile of the bunch.
And Boston's going to be fine. So all eight of these teams, I could easily see all eight repeating.
Right, I do too. But you know, it obviously doesn't happen every year. But, you know, it's interesting. I read somewhere this morning, and I hadn't realized this, that there's only been like four teams that have won a series in the postseason after winning the World Series the previous year. In like years.
I don't know why it's so tough to do that.
I don't either. It's interesting.
I mean, it's tough to make the playoffs, okay? And it's tough to win any series. But, like, you know, the way the Phillies are constructed, I mean, I'm a little... The Rays, I mean, did everybody just assume that they were such a fluke that they couldn't do it again? I thought they could do it again. I guess it is tough. You know, it's tough to make the playoffs in baseball.
Well, it's tough to win it all and come back and even win a series the next year. And, you know,
but we saw the Phillies kind of like, you know, most of the season they were just kind of messing around.
Rope-a-dope. Yeah, just getting ready. This is what they were getting ready for.
It took them a while to get going, and then and even in September they didn't get all that going.
Yeah, but once they saw how bad the Mets were, and once they saw that the Braves couldn't hit.
Marlins closed to three, you know?
I know, but there was never really a panic, honestly.
All right, no panic here, of course. Any final thoughts?
I just hope that these two LCSs, they do the right thing and go seven games.
Make Peter money, go deep into seven games.
That's right. And if you could go best of nine, I'd be in favor.
Honestly, of all the things you ever said on our time on the show, this is hard to believe. you're angry that that's hard to believe.
I wonder if the Phillies went on to LA last night or if they flew back.
No, they came home. The local telecast was saying they wanted to pick up Cole Hamels because they weren't sure he'd make it. They wanted to fly home and get Cole.
I was wondering who was being diapered. Back.
Just terrible. Guess what? We'll be back on Wednesday so Peter can complain some more. You can send your emails to baseballtoday@espnradio.com. Thursday, we'll preview the National League. Friday, the American League. Keep sending your emails and we'll discuss them. That is all for Baseball Today for Tuesday. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Baseball Today. For more baseball talk, be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for Baseball Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on ESPN Radio and online at ESPNRadio.com.
Tomorrow morning, we can either rip it or praise it.
Well, that's pretty much what we do here, isn't it?